would come forward, if you all may have a seat. And Brother Michael, if you would come forward and to give your testimony to the people. And I'm going to have to reset this. Apparently, when we click off of one thing, the audio capture device, we lost it. And so we'll try it again here. Is the recorder, no, it's still recording? Okay. This has been happening to us for the last few weeks, and there's something in the PowerPoint that when you click off of it, it says having trouble with the audio capture device, so please bear with me for just a moment. I'm going to have to shut it down and turn it on again. Devil sure doesn't want the revelation of Jesus Christ to get out there over the internet. It's terrible what's been going on. I just okay, everything is set. Let me just get this working again. Okay. And to you that are watching from overseas, we apologize. We're having a lot of technical difficulties, and I'm not a very technical person when it comes down to it. So, Brother Michael, would you come forward? Brother Michael, we met. He was a deacon in the church in Mabanza Ngungu, where I'm going to speak in 3 weeks. And he was in the church doing his deacon duties, passing out the materials that we had for the ministers that were there for the meeting. And I'd like him to talk to you and tell you about what took place that day in September of 2007. So, Brother Michael, if you'd introduce yourself, tell him a little background about yourself, and I'll just kind of step out of the way if needed here.
Thank you.
And, did you want your brother to translate, or do you think you can...
Can come to translate.
If you'd like to come up to translate as well. He's 14 years old, and he's been in America for about a year, but his ability to pick up English is much faster than Brother Michael, because I'm sure of age. But Brother Michael does know four languages, so it's not that he's not capable.
I'm sorry. My English is not perfect. I hail you in the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Je suis Michel Vamba.
I'm Michel Vamba.
Je viens du Congo.
I'm from the Congo.
Je viens du Congo.
I'm from the Congo.
Mais il y a deux Congo.
But there are two Congos.
Non, la République du Congo, mais République démocratique du Congo.
The Republic of Congo.
Congo-Kinshasa.
Congo-Kinshasa.
Je suis ici il y a cela. Une année de deux mois.
I've been here for a year and 2 months.
Je suis arrivé avec lui, le fils à mon frère.
I came here with my brother's son.
Donc lui aussi a une année et deux mois avec moi.
Him was here a year and two. Have been here for a year and 2 months.
Mais comme lui part à l'école, moi je me bats pour travailler. C'est comme cela que son anglais est un peu parfait que moi.
He goes to school. Well, I go to work, so his English is better than mine.
Alors, un petit mot.
For a little words.
En 2007, l'apôtre Brian était à Banzangungu.
In 2007, the pastor Brian was in Banzangungu.
Et c'était vraiment merveilleux.
C'était
des réunions merveilleuses.
Was the wonderful.
Alors, le matin, c'était des réunions, les réunions pour les ministres, les prédicateurs donc.
In the morning was the reunion for the pastors.
Et le soir, c'était des réunions pour tout le monde.
And in the night, it was a rain for everybody.
Alors, maintenant, le matin, là, il y avait vraiment une multitude de prédicateurs, une centaine de prédicateurs venus de partout le Congo.
In the morning was a lot of pastors from all over the Congo.
Mais vous allez vous étonner. Ils ne sont pas venus tous pour apprendre. Mais ils se disaient, nous allons prouver cet apôtre-là parce que on nous a dit qu'il enseigne deux dieux.
They didn't come to understand the words, but they come to prove that
Il enseigne deux dieux.
They can understand two gods.
Alors maintenant, quand ils sont arrivés,
when they came,
ils étaient confused.
They were confused.
Parce que l'apôtre Brian a démontré de A à Z ce que le prophète a enseigné.
Because the Pastor Brian described to A to Z how the prophet
enseigne.
Teach.
Maintenant, à la fin, il devrait poser des questions. C'était des questions-réponses.
At the end, they had to ask questions.
Et chaque réponse avait sa réponse dans le message et dans la Bible.
Every answer has his.
Chaque question.
Every question has his answer in the Bible and in the
message.
In the message.
Alors maintenant, il se disait, mais ce qu'il a dit dans ces brochures-là, c'est avant 1963, il commençait un peu à se contredire là. Ce que l'apôtre dit là, ce sont des prédications avant 63.
That the prophet said was the predication of.
Avant 63.
Before 1993.
Maintenant, l'apôtre a dit, est-ce qu'on peut déchirer toutes les prédications de avant 63 pour prendre celles d'après 63 ou comment?
The pastor said, can we just stop talking about the 93's
les prédications de avant 63.
The predication before 63.
Yeah. Alors, mais après le.
Let me explain. Some of the ministers believe that you throw out the message before 63 and you only take it after 63. And what he's saying is that we take all of it.
Mais après, l'apôtre Brian a quand même donné aussi des citations du message après 63.
But the pastor Brian gave the.
Des citations.
The.
Citation. Après 63.
Before 63.
Et c'était chaos.
And there they couldn't say nothing.
Maintenant, le deuxième jour.
And the second day.
Quand l'apôtre présentait avec brio le message, quand il enseignait le prédicateur.
When the pastor was teaching the predicator.
C'est vers 13h.
It was about
1 p.m.
1 p.m.
Et le soleil était clair.
And the sky was clear.
Et il n'y avait pas de nuages.
There wasn't clouds.
Alors, moi, j'étais là à l'église.
I was there in the church.
J'ai donné les livres du message au prédicateur. Et il y avait le caméraman qui prenait les images.
There was a cameraman who was filming.
Qui ne prie pas avec nous.
Who wasn't.
Il ne prie pas avec nous.
Who wasn't from the church. Who didn't go to the church.
Alors, moi, je voulais qu'il puisse filmer tout ce que l'apôtre disait, sans manquer un mot.
I asked him to film every word the pastor said.
Mais après un moment, je n'ai plus vu le caméraman dans l'église.
But in the cameraman disappeared in the church.
J'ai dit, mais il est où?
I said, where is he?
On a dit, mais tu ne sais pas ce qui se passe dehors.
He said, do you not know what's happening outside?
J'ai dit, c'est quoi?
I said, what is it?
Mais il y a un événement dehors.
He said, something's happening outside.
Et je suis sorti en courant dehors.
And I ran out outside.
Et je vois tout le monde, même les passants, les yeux braqués en l'air.
I saw everybody looking at the sky.
Mais, s'il vous plaît, ce n'était pas la saison de pluie.
But it wasn't a raining season.
Et d'habitude, donc, c'est dans la saison de pluie qu'il y a l'arc-en-ciel.
In Africa, the rainbows only comes in the raining season.
Mais maintenant, il y avait la confusion. Comme l'arc-en-ciel était horizontal comme ça,
the rainbow was horizontal.
Maintenant, certaines sœurs disaient, oh, c'est la colonne de feu, la colonne de feu.
Other sisters said, it's the ring of fire.
Mais les autres disaient, non, ce n'est pas la colonne de feu, c'est l'arc-en-ciel. Et c'était merveilleux, ça changeait même la connotation du ciel là.
It was wonderful.
Ça changeait la couleur du ciel.
It changed the color of the sky.
Et maintenant tout le monde, même les pasteurs, se disent, mais qu'est-ce qui se passe? C'est quoi ça? On n'a jamais vu de telle chose.
Everybody said, what's going on? We've never seen anything like this before.
Et c'était merveilleux. Maintenant, après un moment donné, oh voilà le deuxième est là.
After a minute or so, there was another rainbow.
Donc deux secondes. Et c'est venu accoster là où préparaient les serres, la nourriture pour les prédicateurs.
Well, the second one stopped where they were, the sisters were cooking for the pastors.
Et là maintenant, on voyait, on était stupéfaits. Après un moment donné, ça a déplacé, ça vient accoster maintenant là où le pasteur, l'apôtre prêchait, le ministre.
After a moment, the rainbow moved and it stopped where the pastor was praying.
Juste au-dessus de l'église.
Right in the top of the church.
Et là maintenant, ça environnait le soleil.
And it created a circle in the top of the church.
C'est pour dire que c'était vraiment à midi et en plein soleil.
To say that it was in the afternoon and the sun was bright.
Et c'était visible aux yeux de tout le monde.
It was visible for everyone.
Alors, si vous constatez même pour le premier arc-en-ciel quand c'était sorti, vous voyez dans la photo, il y a une pièce métallique.
If you can see it in the first rainbow, there was a metal piece.
Et c'est l'antenne TV, parce que là, au Congo, vous voyez, avec les sous-développements, il faut mettre l'antenne plus haut pour capter la télévision.
It was an antenna for the television.
Alors, cette pièce-là, jusqu'aujourd'hui, j'ai demandé même le pasteur Sylvain, ça se trouve là, jusqu'aujourd'hui, l'antenne-là, ça se trouve
till
là.
Today, the antenna is still there.
Alors, c'était vraiment proche de cette antenne-là que vous voyez, la pièce de la métallique.
It was so close to the metal piece.
Alors, pour le moment, là-bas, tout le monde parle. Ils disent que cette église, c'est une église là, de surnaturel.
Till today, everybody said that church is
surnatural. Alors, vraiment, c'était merveilleux. Nous étions tellement bénis. Et tout le monde en parle jusqu'aujourd'hui. Et surtout quand le pasteur a mis ça sur l'internet, c'était vraiment merveilleux.
It was wonderful. Everybody talks about it even today.
Et le pasteur Billy Diabatenga a monté un petit documentaire, un petit film.
And the pastor Billy Diabatenga created a film.
Quand on a diffusé ça à la télévision là-bas,
when we show it in television.
Et c'est tout le monde qui a appelé. On a reçu des appels.
Everybody called.
Cet événement s'est passé ici, mais c'est merveilleux, c'est fantastique. Mais qu'est-ce qui s'est passé?
Everybody called, said, this event happened here. It's wonderful. What happened?
Alors, depuis ce temps-là, le pasteur Sylvain est vraiment persécuté par d'autres pasteurs qui se disent des grands pasteurs qui ont des églises de 3000, 4000, 10000 personnes au Congo.
Till that day, the pastor Sylvain was persecuted by the pastor who has 300 million people in the church.
Yeah, yeah. 300, 1,000.
Oh, 3,000.
Alors maintenant, mais ils n'ont pas des arguments pour s'approcher. Parce que tout est clair, la doctrine est claire.
Because everything was clear.
Et ce qui fait défaut chez eux, ils ont reçu le message avant par un pasteur qui prêche Dieu, qui est un comme notre doigt est un.
That they were,
ils ont reçu le message,
they received the message
par un pasteur
by a pastor
qui prêche, qui prêchait
who preach,
Dieu un comme notre doigt est un.
God as one like your finger.
Alors, maintenant, c'est depuis des années qu'il prêche comme ça.
He preached like that for years.
Et moi, je suis venu de ce mouvement-là aussi.
I came from that church.
Maintenant, pour le pasteur,
for the pastor,
ils ne savent pas se repentir pour prêcher ce que le prophète a prêché parce que ils ont honte.
They don't know how to preach, how the prophet preach because they're shy.
Donc c'est vraiment ça, mais ils n'ont pas des arguments parce que tout est clair, tout est puisé dans les messages. Donc maintenant nous croyons la doctrine et nous sommes vraiment bénis. Et je crois par la grâce de Dieu, c'est cette bénédiction qui a poussé que je sois arrivé aux États-Unis mystérieusement, miraculeusement.
They didn't have comment because everything was clear and we were blessed that day. I think that's why we came to the United States.
Vraiment, je suis dans la joie et mon souci était que de croiser l'apôtre Brian.
I'm really happy because I was always looking for an opportunity to meet the Pastor Brian.
Parce que depuis son passage dans notre église, l'église est tellement bénie.
Because till the day he came to in Africa, our church was blessed.
Vraiment béni, je dis bien vraiment béni.
Very, very blessed.
Et je suis vraiment, j'ai du respect envers cet homme.
I respect that man.
Parce que j'ai vu des prédicateurs, mais j'ai vu l'unique qui prêche le message tout en respectant les principes que le prophète Branham a laissé.
I saw the pastors preach, but when I saw the pastor Branham preach, he respected the principle that the prophet used.
Vraiment, c'est vraiment ça. Et maintenant, je suis vraiment dans la joie de vous voir ici. Parce que c'est rare vraiment de trouver même le cerf. Là où je suis, je vois vraiment qu'il y a que l'abomination. Mais je vois, je suis entre mes lumières, entre mes soeurs, entre mes frères. Vraiment, et je vois le message en vous.
I'm really happy to be here because over there's abominations. I can see that
je vois mes frères, mes frères, je vois les messages.
My brothers and my sisters, I can see the message in you.
Et je crois vraiment, je suis dans la joie. Je suis dans la joie.
I'm really happy.
Bon, je ne sais pas, peut-être que l'apôtre Brian a quelques questions à me poser pour essayer un peu, peut-être quelque part où je ne sais pas.
I don't know if the person Brian has a question to say or not.
And you can try to answer in English a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If you could just tell us, because this was quite a phenomenal thing that took place. How far away was this rainbow that the people saw from the church when they first saw it? About how many meters away?
I think 200 miles.
Meters away.
Yeah.
And it was coming down where?
Coming in the east.
From the east?
From the east, yeah.
Okay. And it was coming down the main road?
Yes. She coming the east, the first one.
Yeah.
Coming the east. And the second, the same in the east.
Yeah.
She stayed there, our sister cooking.
Okay. So when the first came, from the time they saw it,
yeah,
until the time it came to the church, about how many minutes did it take to get there?
I think 10 minutes.
All right, about 10 minutes.
No, the first?
Yeah, the first.
The first 20 minutes.
Oh, 20 minutes. Okay,
yeah.
So very slowly.
Very slow, yeah.
And did it stop?
Yeah.
Where did it stop first?
The first, I say, next mountain, the Middle of Peace.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did it stop when it go over the sisters, or did it stop?
It stopped above the sister.
Okay, yeah. For how long?
10 minutes.
About 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Then what? Then it moved where?
To move just above the church.
Okay. So how far away were the sisters from the church?
I think exactly 15 meters. 50 meters. Yeah. 50
okay.
Meters.
And did it go in the same direction all the way, or did it turn?
No, the same direction.
Okay, so it came down the main street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I know the street. Then it, did it turn and come over the church?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And how long did it stay over the church?
The church 1 hour.
1 hour.
You make a circle.
Okay. So the first one though, the first one that came and it turned the corner and it stayed over the church. How many feet above the church, or how many meters above the church?
I think. 200 meters.
Two meters or
two meters, yeah.
Two and a half, three.
Yeah.
You said last night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So about from Peter to me, maybe that distance above the church.
Yeah.
But from here to there, above the church.
Above the church. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then the first one.
Yeah.
The horizontal.
Yeah.
It stayed for how long over the church by itself?
The first one?
Just number one, yes.
Number one?
Yeah.
I say 10 minutes.
Okay. Then the second one came from the same direction?
Yeah.
From the east?
From the east, yeah.
Okay. And it made the same turn?
Turn, yeah.
And when it joined to the first one?
Yes.
Okay. What shape did it take then?
I don't understand.
What did it look like? What shape?
The first is horizontal.
Yeah.
And the second, you make a few circles.
Like
half
a
soup.
Like
okay. Yeah.
All right. So and that same as what the brother said on the film is that it actually like a bowl shape, and that's what Brother Branham in the Message of Grace. If you watch listen to the Message of Grace, Brother Branham talked about how he saw three rainbows on the anniversary of when he spoke those three squirrels into existence. Then a year later, he went on that anniversary to go back to the same field where he was hunting, you know, the woods. And he stood in the field, and he just lifted up his hands, and he began to worship God and pray. And while he was praying, he said he saw three rainbows, one from the left, one from the right, and one from the middle. They came, and they joined themselves together, and he said they made a bowl shape. That's Brother Ram's term, was a bowl shape. And that's what the brother's saying. He had the main horizontal rainbow, and then when the other one came and joined, it flipped up on the ends like a bowl. All right. So, how long did the second one stay?
The second, I say.
The two of them together.
Together.
Yeah. How long were they there?
The first 20 minutes. The second 10 minutes.
30.
10.
Oh, 10 minutes. So the second. So the two together was another 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the third one came.
Mm-hmm.
And when the third one came, it came the same direction from the east.
Yes.
And when it joined, it became what? What was the shape? Okay,
yeah.
So it was a full circle.
Yeah, a full circle.
And how long did that stay?
1 hour.
Okay, so total we have about, over the church was about 1.5 hours.
Mm. And total, yeah.
Yeah.
All, and 1 hour and half, yeah.
Okay, 1.5 hours.
Yeah.
That was above the church. So what has that, how has that affected the people and the other ministers who, the ministers who came and thought we were teaching two gods, and when they saw this, what did that do to them?
Yes, some people say we teach two gods.
Yeah.
But the pastor Silver answer, yes, no. He say you are the the Jehovah Witness.
Well, they said you're a Jehovah Witness.
Yeah, you are the Jehovah. But Pastor Silver answered, said, yes, we are the Jehovah Witness of us. We are the true Jehovah. Because in the Bible saying, and the prophet says, he said, and the last time you can begin my witness
to all nations.
Yeah.
So Jesus said, go and be a witness to all nations.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there any other special things? How did it affect the hearts? You know, in their heart, how did it affect the brothers? How did the doctrine? Yeah.
Yes, the doctrine is very, very, very good. All in our in my church, all person believed that.
Okay.
But in the country, I say, two pastors, and another province in Congo, abandoned one pastor, believed the doctrine.
Okay. Mm. But now, how many do you say, think?
Now?
Yeah.
I think four pastors, because in Kimpese, and in Kolo, Bandundu, and in Angola, one pastor believed the doctrine.
Okay.
He looked for you. I'm come there after to come here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, it's I just wish we had a better understanding of French. I can read it, but I can't speak it so well. Or I can speak it a little bit, but I can't. It's just too rapid fire for me. But anyway, so what we're looking at, brother, sister, is the fact that, you know, God himself has made himself visible. Brother Branham told us in the third Exodus, he said, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. So it's very apparent that the pillar of fire, in order to do that, has got to be still on the scene. And so I'm believing with all my heart that that's what God is still leading. He leads us by his word, and he expresses himself through his word, but sometimes he gives us a shot in the arm. He gives us a supernatural visitation to let us know that we're on the right path, because he said if we walk in the light as he is in the light, it brings us into fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, last night we read in our Bibles, and from Brother Branham's sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, where he spoke of Colossians 1:15, in speaking of the Son of God, where Paul said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And I promise you that this morning we would look at this thought here, the image of the invisible God. And so this morning we're going to look at this thought, the image of the invisible God, because after all, as I mentioned last night, the word image and invisible do not exactly correspond well together. Now, the word image means a reproduction of the form of a person or an object, especially a sculpted likeness. In physics, it is an optically formed duplicate. In other words, it is a duplicate that can be seen. It's a counterpart or other representation, reproduction of an object, especially an optical reproduction of an object formed by a mirror or a lens. Now, remember, this picture here, the light struck the lens, right? That's an image. Now, it's not the original, as Brother Vell always pointed out. That's not God, but that's an image. It's a reproduction. It's a copy. And so we're looking at, then, the image of God, or the image of Jesus Christ being the image of God. Now, I want to focus on these words, because our dictionary uses words to describe, and as Brother Vell said, in quoting, I don't remember the author, but anyway, that when words no longer have meaning, it's over. And when Brother Branham says things like appearing and coming are two different words, they mean two different things. And when people muddle them together and make them one thing, they've got confusion. And when we look at the words experience and we look at the words evidence, they're two different words and they mean two different things. And when we muddle them and try to make experience evidence, that's when we get in trouble. And so when we muddle the words, and so what we're looking at is image and invisible this morning. Two different words that mean two different things. And they almost are at the complete opposite spectrum. An image versus something that's invisible. Invisible and image are at two, they're not at odds with each other, but they're at the other end of the spectrum. So, when we look at the pillar of fire that hangs over the head of William Branham, that picture over there, notice the camera, depending on the shutter speed, can pick up things that are so fast that even the naked eye cannot see them. And that other dimension where God dwells is so much faster of a dimension than the one that one day in God, one day to God is 1,000 years for men. So you're looking at a dimension that's 365,000 times faster than the dimension that we're living in. Now think about that. 365,000 times if one day for God is 1,000 years for men. So it is talking about the image is a reproduction of an original, and it is interesting that we use the word reproduction to describe the process whereby we have certain organs in our body that are capable of reproducing ourselves through childbirth. Well, you're looking at an image is a reproduction, and so is the fact that a child is a reproduction of their parent. Now, the speed of light, we're going to get a little science this morning. The speed of light is 186,282 miles per second, whereas the speed of thought travels at 24 billion miles per second. So the speed of thought travels 353,565.13 times faster than the speed of light. Now think about that. 353,000 times faster than the speed of light. So see that that dimension is so much faster than our dimension that it would take a super high resolution camera with such a fast shutter speed to capture the image. Yet the human eye is capable of only 1/3,000th per second of capturing an image. 1/3,000th. Now, we know God is life. We know God is love. Why? Because we heard it. We read it in our Bibles. And He is or have so many characteristics that it may be impossible to log them all. But He lives in a dimension that is so fast that it would be impossible for the naked eye to see Him, and yet He has a body. He has a head. He has a tongue. He has a neck. He has nostrils. He has legs. He has arms. He has hair. Because we've shown you over the years many, many scriptures that talks of the breath of God, the eyes of God, the arm of God, God walking to and fro among men, and man is created in His image, in God's image, and therefore God does not look like a monkey that also has legs and a neck and an arm and mouth, or a giraffe or a camel. He looks like us, or rather, we look like Him. Now what I'm trying to say that the Apostle Paul told us that Jesus Christ was born to be the very expressed image of God, who we cannot see. Yet because He is invisible to us does not mean that He's not here. There is a difference between being invisible and being not here. Love is invisible until love is expressed. Yet it can be present. A loving father may stand over his sleeping baby and just watch that baby laying there as it's breathing. And that father may truly have a genuine love for that child, so that love is there. But perhaps in that condition, that child does not need to have that expression of it, because it might wake that child if the father were to take it into his arms and caress it to his bosom. Yet that love is there, that love is present, but it's not in an express form at that point. But the father and his love is still there. The hummingbird can flap his wings up to 90 times per second, but the human eye is only capable of capturing about 50 to 60 frames per second. That's why they set the standard at 50 to 60 frames per second. In fact, if you take a video of your screen resolution is not quite 50 to 60. And so you're looking at, you can see that kind of, it looks like it's scrolling. If you ever take a video of your screen, it looks like it's refreshing, the refresh rate. But the movie picture industry produced films to run it between 50 and 60 frames per minute. A camera like these, what we have back here, are 30 frames, per second. 30 frames per second. All right. So you're looking at a hummingbird can flap 90 frames, not 90 frames, it can flap his wings 90 times a second. Now, if I could ask you to flap your arms, how many times do you think you could flap your arms per second? You see, you weren't built to flap your arms. Right? Well, you think a hummingbird is fast and you can just kind of see a blur. And that means it's flapping 5,400 times per minute. But a bumblebee can flap his wings 240 times per second. Or 14,400 times per minute. Now, the human's not built to flap his arms, so just forget the idea. But what I'm telling you these things is because we think in terms of the atmosphere and characteristics that we live in day by day. But God lives in a dimension so much faster that he could make calculations so fast that you could not measure it in nanospeed or gigahertz or terahertz or any measurement that man is capable of coming up with, because we're told that even before you ask, he's already answered. So there's no measurement, brother, sister, to the speed of God. So when we begin to look at the attributes and characteristics which define for us who and what God is, we must not try to limit God by our own understanding, but rather we must be able to think his thoughts if we are to have an accurate picture of the image of God. I believe it was Einstein said, if we were to go out into space and travel at the speed of light and to go out for, I don't remember how many days it was, and come back, he said, everyone around us would have aged by something like 80 years and we'd be gone like 2 or 3 days. You see, a bumblebee's life isn't 70 or 80 years as the Bible gives to man. A bumblebee's life is very short. A hummingbird's life is very short because they're living in such a high, fast pace that they do everything that you do. I mean, you could flap your wings, you know, as long as the lifespan of a bumblebee, 240, you know, say, you know, he's got 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month or whatever he's got to live. But, you know, he lives it in such a fast pace that he gets everything done that you get done in 70 years or 80 years. So what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to paint a picture in your mind that when we're trying to understand the things of God, the attributes of God, you know, we're looking from our own perspective. We're looking from what we as men are looking at. But we don't understand that God lives in such a higher dimension and such a fast dimension that before you even ask, he already knows what you're going to ask. You understand? And he's already got that your answer on the way. I remember years ago, and Brother John, could you shut the outside door? Thank you. I remember years ago I was praying, and I was kind of upset because I had been doing the beta testing for the word search program that Brother Neil Haliva had put out. In fact, I gave him the idea back in 83 to do it, and I had contacted Brother Vail, was going to pay for the to put it on disk, because back in those days I worked for the personal computer division of NCR. And so we were going to put the entire message on just one CD, and they started out doing it by, I had a talk with Neil in 83 in Memphis, and they started out by putting it just onto a little floppy disk, and took something like 80 floppy disks to get the whole message on there. And that wasn't even the audio. That was just the text. And then we went to a place where they started putting the audio down, and they could put it, you know, one paragraph at a time. You could click on it, you'd read one paragraph at a time. And then somebody came up with a program from Eddie Biscoe's church. They made it so that you could wipe out those little stops, and you could actually listen to it like a tape. Well, that cut into the sales in the voice of God. So they actually hired Brother Neil to come work for them. Well, when Brother Neil came to work for them, they took out in the 99 version, it was the 96 version, you could do it. The 99 version, they took it out. So I was a little upset, and I went to prayer, and I said, Lord, you know, this isn't right. There's people out there that can't even afford a postage stamp, much less, you know, tape. So, Father, you know, if you would help me to get the money to buy 50 laptops, I'll load them up with the entire message, all the pictures, all the text, all the doctrine, and we'll just get them out there and get so that and give them speakers so that the churches, 50 churches around the world will have it. Well, I didn't know 50 churches at the time. And, you know, I mean, I did in the U.S., but I certainly didn't overseas. And so, and I knew that there's people out there that don't have access. So I just prayed the Lord to give us access. And I was praying at, I think it was 7 o'clock in the morning, asking the Lord that, because I just met the night before with Brother Neil, and he gave me the 99 version to do the beta testing for. And so I found, first thing I did was a check to see if it still played like a, you know, could take the thing and play it like a sermon, and you couldn't do it. So I was upset, and I asked the Lord for that. And so 2 hours later, I'm at work, and I have a meeting. My first meeting in the morning is with a major pharmaceutical company, SmithKline Beecham. And we were to talk about a contract. And so I was talking to the regional manager, and so he said, listen, he said, before we talk this morning, he said, I just got off a telephone with headquarters 2 hours ago, and I'm thinking, well, 2 hours ago I was at headquarters too. I said, so I told him, I said, well, I was talking to my headquarters 2 hours ago too. I said, my Father in heaven. And he said, well, he said, the thing is, he said that, they told me that, a week ago on Monday they offered the Philadelphia School District, 2,500 laptops. The old laptops, they were getting new ones. And anyway, on Friday, they got a call from the school district and said, we don't want them. So I got this call 2 hours ago, and they said if we want you to try to find nonprofit organizations that could use these laptops, otherwise we got to destroy them. So we'll have to put them in a dumpster and crush them. He said, so do you know any nonprofit organization that needs 2,500 laptops? I said, well, I was just talking to my father, my headquarters 2 hours ago. And I said, and I asked him for 50 laptops. He said, 50? You want 300 of them? You can have 300 of them. I said, well, no, I only know, I said, I don't even know 50, but I said, you know, but I asked for 50. I don't want to be greedy. So, you know, if you want to throw a few extra in there for parts, you know, that'd be fine. Well, 2 weeks later, I went out and drove out, and they had 82 of them for us. And that's how it got us started. We've since given out 170 laptops and hundreds of full sets of Brother Branham's and many, many, many dozen, probably 50, 60, because they're on the laptops too, we've given out hundreds of copies of Brother Vale's full sets also. And everything we've done here, we've done for free. We never charge a person a penny for. But the fact is this, that 2 hours before, when I was praying, God already had in progress the answer. Because already this man, the Friday before they turned down, that morning, same time I was talking to my father, I was praying to my father, the answer was coming through the loop to get us those laptops. So you see how God works, and he sets things up in a way so that when you finally recognize your need yourself, the answer is already there. Because God knows it before. Amen. So, why I'm telling you these things is because we think in terms of an atmosphere and characteristics that we live in day by day, but God lives in a dimension so fast, so much faster, that he could make calculations so fast that you couldn't measure in any term we use. You know, at first it was, megahertz, then it became gigahertz, you know, then it became terahertz, you know, just the speed. And our measurement capabilities are just so finite compared to this speed. And when you look at 53,000, 54,000 times faster is the speed of thought than the speed of light. And it takes 8 seconds, I believe it is, for the light from the sun to reach the earth. But you could be around the earth a million times by thought. You could travel there so fast and be back that you wouldn't even know it. And yet we're limited. And what limits us is this vessel. So God placed all that he is in a limited vessel. And yet that vessel, when it came back, it walked through a wall with the doors being shut. And Einstein himself said that when two objects are traveling at the speed of light, which is 182 plus 1,000 miles per second, that they could pass through one another. So how much faster when Jesus is traveling at the speed of thought, which is 64 billion miles per second? Now think of that. So when we begin to look at the attributes and characteristics that we define for us, who and what God is, we must not try to limit God by our own thinking or our own understanding, but rather we must be able to think his thoughts if we are to have an accurate picture of the image of God. For he said in Isaiah 55 and 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hallelujah. And God sent it because God brought it down himself. God came down with a shout. So it is not in vain, brothers and sisters, that you have heard the message. And that you've heard the teaching. And that you understand the principles and the doctrine. And God said, look, it's not coming back to me void. It's not going to just come down and do nothing. It's going to produce sons and daughters of God. It's going to produce exactly what God meant it to produce. To look further into the definition of what an image is, the definition goes on to say that an image is number three, it is one that closely or exactly resembles another. It's a double. He is the image of his uncle. Or as Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus was the expressed image of the Father. It is the character projected to the public as by a person or an institution, especially as interpreted by the mass media. It's a personification of something specified. That child is an image of good health. Well, we find in Hebrews 1 and 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness, now listen, who being the brightness of his glory, and remember that word glory is doxa, who being the brightness of his opinion, who being the brightness of his values, who being the brightness of his judgment. Now remember, the word brightness is used for a reason there, because nothing can be manifested without light. It takes light to manifest. You turn off the lights in here, you won't see anybody. You can't. Well, you got the light coming in from the outside. Shut it all down. You won't see even your own hand before your face. You see? And he is the brightness or the illumination of God's opinion, of God's, and as Brother Bram said, he was God's expression. He was God's opinion expressed to mankind. And he was the expressed image of God's person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we see that the image of the Father, which we will call that image the Son of God, was so much better than the angels. Now, the Amplified says it this way. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. The light being, the outraying of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. The New American Standard says, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Not just representation. That's Moses and that's Elijah and that's all. They were representation of God, but they weren't the exact representation. Jesus Christ was it all. You see, the NIV says the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So we are limited by these mortal bodies as to the speed that we can take, we can think. And I think science speaks in terms of G-force, and that refers to the force of an object on its acceleration relative to its free fall. It is computed in terms of gravity and specific weight and speed and velocity and a whole bunch of determinant factors. And I could give you the computation, but it's above my pay grade. It's V squared equals VO squared plus A divided by pi to the X power. All right, that's what it is. I'd have to look up what each of those things mean. Now, but in other words, when man is limited, we're limited in these bodies by a G-force, okay? And they train astronauts to take these G-force and maybe two, maybe three. A test pilot, maybe a little bit above that. But we're limited. You know, I think five is as max they can go, something like that. And yet I was listening to the scientist the other day talking about these if you could travel like you see sometimes they look like a spaceship and they go, and then, you know, they go up like this, you know, and they go like this, and it's just, and you can't even hardly see it so fast it turns that way. And then they say they go off into another dimension. That's because they're reaching that speed. It's another dimension. Well, they said if you could have these things orbiting, and he explained it all, it was very, 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 He did a good job. I mean, even someone as illiterate as me in those things could understand it. Don's got a little bit more savvy in those things because he's been into it a lot longer. And Don saw the film as well. And so, you know, he did a good job at breaking it down. But he said you have like an orbiting going on inside the craft so that the craft itself looks like it's, you know, it's going to whatever the speed is of light or beyond light. But he said what you inside are not. You're actually at your normal speed, because if you were, your life expectancy would be only zip, like a bumblebee or less. All right? So what we're looking at then is God is in a higher dimension. It's a much higher pace dimension. Brother Bram said that when he went to the other side, he was there in that sixth dimension, and he met all those people. He said the fifth dimension is where all the bad people go. And then the fourth dimension is where you have electronics, you have coming right through this room now is signals of people. He said, like Marilyn Monroe, you know, those kind of things were just coming right through the room. He said, those actions that they did will be played back for eternity. And the actions that you do are played back. So you've got to be careful, young people, about what things you do, because it's played back. It's all recorded. Everything's recorded. You see? We've got three recorders going right now. And who knows what's going on over the internet. All right. So you see then that we're talking about something that is an image or a perfect copy of something that cannot be seen or easily detected. Therefore, this firstborn son is said to be the image of the invisible God. So he was made in such a way that we can see and detect for the purpose of manifesting or expressing the God who cannot be seen or detected. Now, if something is invisible, then how can something that is invisible be the image of that which is not visible? And now you have the mystery that Paul is speaking about here. Now, we know that life is invisible. You can't see the life in a seed, because although you can strip away... hold on just a moment here. we know that life is invisible. And you can't see life in a seed. Because although you can strip away what we common folks call the husk, and science folks call it the endoderm, the mesoderm, and the ectoderm, the three germ layers, and yet the life is still not visible to be seen there. And you cannot see life until it is manifested, and then it expresses attributes and characteristics. And you cannot see life until those attributes and characteristics become an expression. Like you have a little rose seed. Well, you don't know by looking at that seed what the expression is. You don't know what kind of a rose. You don't know what color of rose. You don't know what height it's going to grow to. You don't know how big the flower is going to get. You don't know how soft the petals are going to be. You don't know what kind of fragrance it has, what kind of smell it has. And when you crush the petals, you don't know what kind of, what's the thing women wear? Not cologne, but what do you call it?
Perfume,
yeah. You don't know what kind of perfume you can get out of it. But you see, it's all there in the seed to begin with. And every attribute and characteristics that you have when you're born again, every characteristic that you have as a son of God, one day will be manifested, but you've got to be born again. Because when that seed of life comes into you, it's all there by the birth. But there's a period of laying in the presence of the Son, because all things that are manifested, Paul said, by the light. So it's the light will manifest whether you're a seed of God or a seed of the serpent. It'll manifest what seed you are. Okay? So if something is invisible, then how can something that is visible be the image of that which is not visible? And now you have the mystery that Paul's speaking about here. Now we know that life is invisible. You can't see the life in a seed, because although you can strip away all those germs and everything else, you just can't see it. Then that manifestation becomes the evidence of what the life is. You see, the manifested life has a nature peculiar to its own, and every seed after its kind. Therefore, a seed unmanifested is truly hidden in the husk or shell. And many seeds look alike until they're planted. Thus, when they are planted, and the life that has been hidden inside that shell now has an opportunity to manifest or express what form of life it is, when that happens, the characteristics and attributes of that life was in the seed suddenly comes into view, and we can now understand the nature of the life that has been hidden. I'll give you an example. That rod of Aaron That rod of Aaron was stripped down of all its bark. It was just a walking rod. But when it laid in the presence of the pillar of fire that was over the altar, it blossomed. It blossomed. It brought forth buds. Now in Hebrews 1 and verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake at times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, who being the illumination and expression of God's opinion, God's values, God's judgment, and the expressed image of who God is as a person. So the life was manifested in order to see what that life is all about. And we have seen and we know because of what we see. Life itself is not visible. It is spirit. If the very essence and nature of life is that it has many qualities and attributes and characteristics which Brother Branham called attributes, and these attributes by their nature are to become expressed. As I said, a rose without its beauty and fragrance would not be a rose. So therefore, every life has attributes that are visibly and materially displayed to our senses in order that we might better understand what the nature of that life is. And that is why Brother Branham spoke a message called God is Identified by His Characteristics. In it, he began by showing the difference between two birds that are both yellow, but each has a different flying pattern. I think one was a thrush and the other was a, I don't remember what the other bird was, but the pattern distinguishes the difference between the two birds to the careful observer. And that's what Brother Branham went on to say. So you're looking at its way it acts, its actions, its works. That's why when Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And Brother Brown said, if you have the life of Dillinger, you're going to rob banks and have guns. If you have the life of Mozart in you, you're going to compose music. He said, if the life of a painter in you, you're going to paint pictures. And he said, and if you have the life of Jesus Christ in you, you're going to do the things Jesus did. You're going to talk like him, you're going to act like him, you're going to heal like him, you're going to do all the things that he did. So my question then to you is, we're looking at this image, and we're not going to be able to get to it all today. I've got just a lot of pages of quotes here in scriptures and things that I want to share with you. But we're looking at how do we in this physical body, the body of this death, as Paul called it, how can we see God? And the answer is that God uses the body to bring forth his attributes. Look, your attributes born in sin. Your attributes shaped iniquity. Your attributes, look, all you are is volcanic dust and ash. That's what this body is. And the spirit you had when you were born was by a sexual procreation. It was your parents. There's a spirit life there, human life, animal life. And that's what people express. That's why you can't expect people that are not born again to live like Christians, to talk like Christians, to act like Christians. They've got to be born again. They've got to have the Spirit of God in them to think like God, to do like God, to say like God, to speak like God. And that's the problem we have in the churches. They think, well, because I sat under a certain ministry that means I've arrived. You haven't arrived. 2 million people left following Moses and they all perished, every one of them, except for two. They perish in the wilderness. And the same thing's happening. There's 2 million people following this message, and I wonder how many are going to make it. And Brother Brown said, in every congregation, there's three kind of believers. So that fits all of us in here, brother, sister. Which one are we? Which one are we? And it's not for me to say, which one are you? I have to see a reflection of Christ in me to see. I have to understand, Lord, you know, what the Lord is doing with me. Am I willing to die? Look, if you had the opportunity, brother, sister, to live forever, but you had to just die to yourself, and you know, maybe to put it in a science fiction form of, you know, if you had the will, if you knew that the world was going to end, everybody's going to just be burnt up, and it's either be burnt up and just be burnt in ash, or you know, God said, I'll place my spirit in you when the time comes. You're going to have a body change that will be commensurate with my spirit, which thinks much faster, thinks much higher. You're going to live forever. You'll never get old. You'll never have pains. You'll never be aching. You'll never know hunger. You never know. Wouldn't you want to do that? Now, we say, everybody says, well, yeah, that's what I want, but are they willing to do it? Well, the only catch is that you've got to die. When Jesus talked to the rich young ruler, the Bible says Jesus loved him. He discerned him. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and he loved him. That word looked is discerned. Jesus looked into him and he saw that he was a really righteous young man. He said, from my youth I've done all these things. And Jesus said, okay, one more test. And believe me, when God gives you his word, he's going to test you with it. And he said, one more test. He said, give all you've got and come follow me. And take up your cross and follow me. Now, everybody preaches that, well, you know, if I can just give so much money, you know, give all my money away or give this and that, that's going to get me there. That's not what he's saying. He said, in order to crucify yourself and follow me, you've got to change your focus. Your focus is on all these things. You're building more barns and everything else. That's your focus. He said, no, you've got to die to yourself. And if you're willing to die to yourself, you can follow me. And brother, sister, we've got the pillar of fire leading us to a millennium. The brother Michael expressed to us, they saw the pillar of fire. When those sisters, they looked up and the first sister, she saw, she goes, look, a rainbow. And the other sister said, well, this is a dry season. There's no rainbows. They looked up. She said, well, it must be the pillar of fire. Then all the heads looked up. And he said, there was over 100 and some people there. They all saw it. And it was moving. It's not just a stale, stagnant cistern. It's an ever-present water from the rock. Now, if God could lead the people of Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, isn't that God the same yesterday, today, and forever? And Brother Branham, you know when he explained the bow in Noah's day? He said the reason why it went to the curvature of the earth, he said that was the first half of the story. He said when God spoke to me, when he came in those three rainbows and it was the other half, he said that's the other half of the story. That's what Brother Branham said. That's his own words. That's the other half of the story. Well, what about when God now gives us the full story? Huh? I'm not saying I'm a prophet. I'm just saying what the prophet said. And taking it back to the Bible. That's what I'm doing. And I don't care what they say. Brother Vail stood in his own pulpit. I was only 29 when I started pastoring here. I was about 1984. I was 31 years old. And Brother Vail told his congregation, He said, you can die under my ministry, but you'll never die under that. And I'm not saying that to puff Brian up. And he also said, and I've got it on tape. He talked to some of the brothers over there. He said, I've been preaching for 50 years, and I've never seen anybody take the Old Testament and New Testament and make it live like Brian does. Now, why is that? Because God made me that way. He made me to be able to see what he's doing. As Brother Bram said, I'm not a preacher like other preachers. They take a text and they can go with it. He said, I preach by what I see. And that's what I do. And I'm not saying I'm a prophet. I'm not a prophet. But I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's what my ministry is fashioned out to be. God's called me to go places and do things and tell the people. And it's all based on a reality of an experience of what I see happening. And I take the Alpha and I bring it back to the Omega and I look at Omega and I say, what's happening, Lord? And he shows me in the Alpha, in the book of Acts or whatever. And I see, okay, this, I have a tag for it. And that's what this is here. And see, you can do the same thing if you just get out of yourself and just step back and say, God, what's happening? And being very faithful, every Saturday night I get in my room and I stay in there. I get in there at 7:30. That's been my commitment ever since the beginning. And I say, Father, I'm not leaving here until you speak to the people. They're not my kids. They're your kids. And a father is obligated to take care of his family. And therefore, Father, help me to get Brian out of the way. Kill me, Lord, that I might understand where you want us to be. And I believe we've turned a corner. I believe we're coming into a reality that it's not just talking doctrine, brother, sister. It's living it. Because we no longer just know about the Son of God and know about that relationship, but we've now entered into that relationship. Like the footprints on the sands of time, Brother Branham said, about, you know, the person that was walking said, well, why, Lord, was there two steps in the good times, but when I got in the real hard times, there was only one pair. And he said, because I carried you. He wants to carry you. You see, Jesus Christ died for you so that you might live. Now, God wants you to die so that Jesus Christ might live again in you and in you and in you. Are you willing to die? Are you willing to let go? Are you willing to let him express himself? Look, he, like I said, God is just Let me ask you this. How many have ever been sitting in service, and whether myself, Brother Vail, Brother Brown, whatever, and you hear that word spoken, and all of a sudden it's like you get this window open up before you. And it's like you see eternity. You see everything. You know everything for just an instant, and then it's gone. Have you ever had that experience? Okay, you've tapped into that other dimension. That other dimension, you know all things. It's just so plain, so simple. It's so reality. Why can't you stay there? Brother Brian was in and out, and you know it caused him a lot of exhaustion. See, these bodies can't take it. These bodies aren't equipped for it. These bodies aren't made, and yet, in the body. And he said, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, it shall quicken your mortal body, and that's not the body that's dead in the grave, and bring it back to life. That's the body you're living in now. It'll quicken it. Make it alive to those things. Until you, as like a prophet, can see those demons hanging on the wall. You all know the story. The deacon in the church came to Brother Bram and said, when I had to pass before you during the service today, I had to go over and change the air conditioning. It was getting too hot. And he said, when I passed between you and the congregation, he said, I just had the most terrible, dirty, rotten thoughts come to my mind. And Brother Bram said, it's always that way. He said, if you could only see those demons hanging on the walls, they look like monkeys ready to pounce on the unbelieving persons. Yeah. Well, brother, sister, those things are there. They're here. And so is the presence of God. So are the angels. When Gehazi said, you know, he saw they were surrounded by the army of the Philistines. And Elijah said, Lord, open the boy's eyes. And he saw there was many more angels. The angels of the Lord are encamped about them that fear him. Brother, sister, if we could just, you know, look, God is going to change our body so that we can see those things all the time. But as a prophet, he could see into that other dimension. It's like looking into that dimension that's so much faster that you can see backwards, you can see forward. You can know that Noah and his family went in the ark on May 17th because you were there. And you can see what's going to happen in the future because you were there. But it's all going on so fast. But, you know, we're limited. And what the problem is Brother Brown said, we live so below our privilege as sons and daughters of God. And we're so tied to this flesh. And we feed this flesh and everything about it. And we don't feed that birth, that child that's growing up in you. That son and daughter of God that's growing up in you. Now you take a mother in the natural, and she spends all of her time, you know, when she starts to feel that baby, can feel the rolling and the kicking and the tumbling of the baby, and she knows that that life is there, and she spends more time on feeding that little child in her belly and nourishing it with the right things and getting the room ready and the clothes ready and everything else. But brother, sister, we've got Jesus Christ, or we've got Christ, I'll put it that way. We've got an anointed child of God growing up within you. And he wants to be fed the right food. So he takes on the right attributes, right characteristics, and comes up healthy and mature. You know, when Eliezer. When Eliezer brought the camel to pick up Rebekah, the same camel that picked up Rebecca brought her, you know, the same camel that she watered is the same camel that packed her home to her bride, to her groom. And Brother Brown said, the same power, the same Holy Spirit that you're watering when you have that new birth, when you're watering, that same Holy Spirit will pack you home. Hallelujah. You've got to water. The bride hath made herself ready. She has purged herself. She's washed by the washing of water by the word. And God sends down His rain, His water. He says His rain is a doctrine. So we lay in that doctrine day and night. We allow the doctrine to have its effect upon us. We don't just sit and say, well, you know, I go to the right church, so I'm saved. I go to the right church and nobody else is saved but me. And then I look at my life and it's so miserable that, you know, look at, you don't even have to look in the mirror of this word, but just look in the mirror physically and see if you're son or daughter of God. Then start looking in God's mirror. What attributes do I have? You know, if I am to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, and the scripture tells us no greater love has a man than he lay down his life for his brother, and that's exactly what the firstborn son did. He was full of mercy. You know, we have the God of all comfort. Jesus came in his image. We have the God of mercy. We have the God who's a healer. We have the God who's, you know, look, brothers, sisters, there's many times you could heal. I'm not talking about physical healing. I'm talking about spiritual, emotional healing. Financially healing. Some of you might be hurting. You know, slip a 10 into his pocket. Take him out for a lunch. Do something, you know, to help the person. When you see that, you know, Brother Branham, when he tipped, he didn't tip because the person gave him great service. He tipped because they had the worst need. The people that had the most emotional distress and were going through the hardest time, Brother Branham laid out a big tip for him that day. Did you know that? Why did he do that? He wanted to change their atmosphere. You see, we are little creators. We're little messiahettes. We live so underprivileged. Brother Branham said, you have enough deity in you, if you're born again, to speak worlds and to go live on them. Hallelujah. So don't we have enough power within us? Didn't Jesus say, go ye to Jerusalem and tarry? That means wait until you be endued with power. Brother Branham said, can you imagine that 9 days? They say, well, you know, we've been here 9 days. And oh, we must have it. Yeah, we've got it because, you know, we believe. Therefore, our experience, you know, I mean, this experience Jesus said to wait for, you know, well, we've got it because, you know, we believe. We believe. We've come. We've waited. We've tarried. We've done all the things he asked us to do. Therefore, we've got that. And you know, but he said, until you are endued with power. With power. And they went from hiding in fear and being a bunch of cowards to going forth. And they didn't care if they cut their head off. Why would you care, brother, sister, if somebody puts a bullet to your head? You ought to say, bring it on, brother. I'm waiting to get home. I'm waiting to get my change. I'm waiting to get out of here. Because I'm looking forward to meeting my Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to meeting my loved ones that have gone on before. Now, they were afraid. But something transformed them. It's a transforming power. The power of an endless age. The power of eternal life. But people have they squirmish, they squeam, they just don't know. Look, they're just so conformed not to the image of Jesus Christ, they're conformed to one another's spirit. Brother Brown said, you look at a church, you go into a church and they all take on the pastor's spirit. He said, the pastor drinks his coffee and he holds his little finger up like that, sips his coffee. He said, you watch. And the brothers in the church will be holding their coffee and sipping with their little finger up in the air. I've been in a church where the pastor kind of had a little jerk like this. You know, he's talking, a little jerk like this. And you look around the brothers when they're talking, they kind of go like this. You know, they all get the little jerk. Yeah. People take on one another's spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're trying to get across, brother, sister. It comes by a death. You can only have that birth by a death. You can only be resurrected if you've died. You can only be raised if you've been dead. Huh? That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our own eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. The word of life. For the life was manifested. And we've seen it. And we bear witness. And we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And that which we've seen and that which we've heard, we declare by the mouth. We declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said, it's not just words. Paul said, I didn't come to you speaking swelling words of man's intellect, but I came in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said, people look at your life and it's more of a sermon to them than they'll ever get from your lips. You can only express with words. Our words, our dictionaries are limited. Even the biggest dictionary, which is about this big, I've seen in the public libraries, and about it's still limited. It's still limited. But a picture is worth 1,000 words. And a life lived, surrendered to Jesus Christ. Brother, sister, I challenge you to do this. And you can download them from Amazon.com. They're free ebooks. You can get them in PDF form. Download the life of Martin of Tours. Download the life of Columba. And you will see men who, from the time they were little children, their favorite place was to lay before the altar of God day and night. Just to be in the presence of God's house. Columba, they say, you knew when he's coming, because as you see this light coming up over the hill, and then there comes Columba and this light above him. Brother Branham said that pillar of fire was seen through the ages. Listen, Columba's mother, she was a believer, a Christian, and she had a dream when she was expecting him. His father was the king of Ireland, or one of the kings. They had tribal kings there. And so this prince is born, his name's Columba, and I don't remember what his full name was, but before he's born, an angel appeared to his mother and showed her a map of Great Britain area, the whole area, even into part of France and stuff, and said, it was Martin, excuse me, Martin, and said, your child, when he's born, will preach my gospel, and my glory will be illuminated to all this that you see. When that child then, they turned the child over when he was weaned from his mother to the local priest. He was a very devout person. They weren't like the priests today that 40% of them are homosexuals. These men were priests because that's the only Christianity that they understood and knew. They had devoted their entire life to serving Jesus Christ. And this child, the priest said when he came back one evening, he thought the house was on fire. He ran into the house and he saw that there was a light over this little boy. Now we hear the stories of Brother Branham when he's born, the light come into the cabin and these things. And we know when Brother Branham saw Brother Vale, he said, there's a lick of fire over your head. But let me tell you something, there's a lick of fire over 120 on the day of Pentecost, and I believe anybody with the Holy Ghost has that lick of fire. And some of those women were women, and some had even been prostitutes, but their life had changed. And when they received the Holy Spirit, brother, sister, they received that light, because God is light. And so that which we've seen and declared unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us and with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let me close down. I'm sorry, we're not even through page 4. I've got about 16 here. So we'll continue Wednesday night. But notice then, our fellowship with the Father and Son comes via the declaration that we hear. Then without the spoken word, we would never have the manifesting in his true character, and without that, we would never know who we are either. The life was manifested, and we've seen it, and we know because of what we see. Life itself is not visible. It's a spirit. Yet the very essence and nature of that life is that it has many qualities and characteristics, which Brother Brown called attributes, and these attributes, by their very nature, are to become expressed. And a rose without its beauty and fragrance would not be a rose. So therefore, every life has attributes that are visibly and materially displayed to our senses in order that we might better understand what the nature of that life is. And that is why Brother Branham spoke of a message called God is identified by His characteristics. And that's why, brother, sister, you know, if you claim to be this message, but you live like a devil, as Brother Branham said, what you are here is a manifestation of what you are. He said reflection. It's a reflection of what you are somewhere else. And he said, if your deeds are evil, that shows where you're going. And he said, but if you're reflecting the truth, because he that is righteous doeth righteousness. That's what the Bible says. In other words, your actions and the things that you reflect is rightly wise. And you're doing that which is right. Well, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful for your word, Lord, and we just love it. And we love your expression, O God, and your who you are, and you came down yourself to explain yourself and to give us that great shout, that great declaration of your presence and your and who you are, and that unveiling and all those wonderful things that come with your presence, O God. And you came to bring life more abundantly. So, Father, may we live our life to its fullest, and may it be a true reflection of our Father. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. We pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord shed His grace upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to
face shine toward you and give thee peace
and give thee peace.